from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Leslie Curran here saying hello once again and welcome to the program in the Saviour's name. I'm delighted that you're taking time to tune in and join with us for our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. It's always good to hear from our listeners. And if you haven't as yet written to tell us that you're listening into the program, then why not make a point of doing so this week? We'd be delighted to receive a letter from you. If you'd like some free gospel literature, then do write and make that request. We'll send it to you, and it's entirely without obligation. So we look forward to hearing from you, wherever you are and whoever you are. Our preacher today is the Reverend Ivan Foster, and he's continuing with his series in Mark's Gospel.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Gospel program, where we are continuing our studies in Mark chapter 7, the verses 31 to 37, where we have the healing of the man who was deaf and dumb. We're going to hear a hymn by Alan McGill. Now let's read from Mark chapter 7, and we'll begin at verse 31. And again departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit, and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha. That is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now here's the hymn that we promised you. Alan McGill singing, Have you counted the cost?
There's a line that is drawn by rejecting our Lord, where the call of His Spirit is lost. And you heard the pleasure-mad throng. Have you counted, the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted, the cost? You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things it will win. Have you counted, the cost? Have you counted the cost? If your soul should be lost, though you gain the whole world for your own, even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted, Have you counted the cost? Even now it may be that the line you have crossed, have you counted, have you counted the cost?
We're turning again to verse 31 through to 37 of Mark chapter 7. We're considering the Savior's healing of the man who was both deaf and dumb. I've already stressed during our study of this portion the fact that this man presents to us a picture of our natural state. As this man was deaf and dumb, so we are in our natural state, deaf and dumb, spiritually. We cannot hear God's word, nor do we respond to God when he speaks to us. Man, being deaf, is in great danger. He cannot hear the warnings of God's word. He cannot heed them. And so he goes on down life's road, apparently unaware of the dangers that lies ahead, the danger of eternal damnation. But as this man was delivered by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, so the good news of the gospel is that Christ can open the deaf ears and loose the tongues that are dumb. That's what Christ has done for everyone who is truly a Christian. There came a moment when suddenly they were gripped by the message of the gospel. They had heard the words before, but they had never had any impact upon them, and suddenly it was as if they were hearing them for the first time, and they recognized through those words their lost condition and the need they had of Jesus Christ. But their tongue was also affected, because they who had never cried on God suddenly cried out on the Lord. And they discovered that great gospel promise to be true, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It takes the power of Christ to open our ears and loose our tongues. And that which Christ did for this man physically, praise God, he will do for you today spiritually. Let's look at the manner in which the Lord healed the man. I need to tell you that it is only in Mark that we read about this miracle. None of the other gospel writers record it. It is therefore somewhat unique. And of course, as we look at how the Savior went about healing this man, we see that he took measures that he never took on any other occasion. The manner of the Savior's healing of the man differs from all other miracles. The Lord deals with each one of us individually. He's not bound by any particular method of working. He can meet with us in circumstances that are unique to our own lives. Let's look then at the manner in which the Lord healed this man. The first thing I want you to notice is that he did it privately. In verse 33, we read, "He took him aside from the multitude." It's most likely that he did so because the multitude followed him with the wrong motive in their minds. Many were caught up with the physical side of Christ's actions and Christ's ministry. They considered nothing of his spiritual ministry. On another occasion, the Savior spoke about this very subject. John chapter 6 and the verse 26. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." You see, they had witnessed the miracles. The miracle in this instance of the feeding of the multitude. But they hadn't taken in the significance of it. They hadn't stopped to say, "Who is this that can work such a miracle? This must be the Messiah." They were taken up, rather, with the fact that here was free bread. Here was free bread. How many people get religious only because of the earthly benefits they feel they can reap from their religious activities. I remember on one occasion a person who was anxious to be elected to a certain political office going around all the churches in the district. Now, you will forgive me if I see in that person's attendance at the place of worship a motive other than the worship of God. And the Saviour is saying the same here to those who crowded upon him. He says, you have come because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You didn't take heed to the demonstration of power that I put forth, and consider who I must therefore be. Likewise, we read of Herod desiring to see the Lord, but again it was for an entirely sinful reason. Listen to these words. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Luke chapter 23 in the verse 8. Christ does not work miracles to entertain people, and he certainly wrought no miracles to entertain Herod. And the Lord Jesus, for that reason, takes this man aside. He's not going to put on a public display. The purpose of Christ's miracles was to show unto men and to women that he was the Messiah, and that which he could work upon their bodies was an indication of that which they needed to have wrought upon their souls. Our time is gone, so we will leave our study there. We will return to this subject again next week and consider, in our final study of this portion, how the Saviour wrought his wonderful work of healing upon the body of this man, how hearing was given to him, and how speech was given to him. But it is important for me to press again upon you the claims of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close, let me just remind you of the importance of you getting saved. Give thought to your spiritual need. Give thought to the real meaning of the Saviour's words and the Saviour's actions as recorded in the Bible. See that there is a world to come. See that there is an eternity for which we must make ready. We have a soul to be saved. There is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Oh, heed the word of the Lord Jesus when he tells us we must be born again. We need that touch upon our souls, whereby our eyes will be opened, our ears will be opened, and we will hear and see the message of God. Pray that he will open your mouth to call upon him for salvation. God bless you. We look forward to you joining with us again next week.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT 53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.